Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Here we go, another episode of Two in the Cooler. Thank you guys for tuning in, watching, listening. You got to follow us, check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Two in the Cooler, posting a lot of great clips on there. And subscribe to the YouTube page, full episodes, a lot of highlights. Best way to get the podcast, in my personal opinion. What are you going to do? I like to watch my podcast, so sue me. Awesome episode today. A ton of Bills talk. We've got our old pal Bernie on, who runs the Instagram account BuffMafia_716, which if you're a Bills fan, I don't know why you don't follow, because he's a blast to talk to. He's a cool dude, man. You guys are really going to like this episode. Last time we had him on, he was our last Discord interview that we did, actually. It was the last episode, like, before we got the studio. So now he's finally in studio, and it was awesome. You guys are going to really, really like it, I think. But before we get into that, as always, we got to start with Instacart. Instacart, folks, it's the best way to get not just groceries, but some of your favorite products from some of your favorite local stores delivered right to your front door in as little as 1 hour. Back to school time, things are starting to heat up. Okay, now that you're a couple weeks in, maybe you start to realize, oh, I need more supplies than I thought. I need another notebook for this class or this lab. I need some colored pencils, or maybe I just want colored pencils so I can doodle in class. That's what I did through most of college, was doodling, and I wish that I had used Instacart to get myself some nice pens delivered super quick. I wouldn't have to go to the store, because you know I hate going to basically all stores, especially grocery stores. That's why you have to use Instacart. It's the best thing to do, without a doubt. Avoid going to the grocery store. Why make your life harder on yourself? Just start using Instacart. The best part is, right now, Two in the Cooler listeners get free delivery on their first order of $10 or more. All you have to do is spend $10 and you get free delivery. That's a crazy deal, folks. Hit the link in the show description and get yourself that deal. Start using Instacart today. You're not going to regret it. Also, another link in the show description is the merch link. A lot of very exciting stuff coming up with merch. Like I said before, we're going to keep you guys posted on it. It's going to be really, really cool. Right now, you can check it out, teespring.com/stores/2inthecooler. We got logo merch, #pizzatipping, Matt can't read, sweatshirts, t-shirts, all kinds of top quality stuff. I hate when you order something from a show that you love and it's that cheap ass material. Because here's the thing, let me let you in on a little industry secret. The reason you get all that cheap stuff is because people are buying these products in bulk to sell to you. With Teespring.com, everything is made to order, so it's super comfortable stuff, okay? I'm talking Tri-Blend, folks. Tri-Blend t-shirts. That's Target quality material, man. You're not going to get that from any other show, except right here, Two in the Cooler. So check out teespring.com/store/2inthecooler. Get yourself something nice, something classy, something that's going to make you look good and feel good. We appreciate you guys. Here is the episode. You're going to love it a lot. Thank you for listening.
Oh, we're going. We're live.
Yeah. No, that's in there now.
Forever. I mean, it's rolling. Yeah. But whether it goes or not.
No, it's gone.
Oh, all right.
I see the numbers counting up.
I'm making sure. Yeah, had a little technical thing at the top.
Ain't no thing. We haven't dealt with technical issues in a while.
Well, it's because I'm so good at what I do.
Song.
That since we've moved in here, we haven't had too many things.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
quick tire pump.
It's, you know what's weird? Is actually the last time you were on, Bernie, I was here, but I think it was like literally the episode before we...
Yeah, you were in the studio, really? Like testing out the Wi-Fi and stuff.
Yeah, I think
did
you,
the episode for
you
me.
Were our last Discord interview.
I'm honored. I'm going down in Two in the Cooler history.
Yeah, that's true. Forever and always in our hearts, Discord.
But we,
Craig,
we appreciate you coming here, Bernie,
yeah.
Proprietor of the world famous BuffMafia_716 Instagram account. This is going to be a pretty heavy football podcast, obviously. We got a lot of Bills stuff to talk about, but because I just saw you post this, I wanted to bring it up. Norm MacDonald died.
Rip to the goat. I mean, that genuinely ruined my day yesterday.
Do you know who that is?
Nope.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Matthew's not plugged in.
No.
Like the rest of us.
Can I get a breakdown?
Yeah. Norm was a stand-up comedian. Oh. He was on Saturday Night Live. He had his own shows. He had, like, a YouTube show, and then he was on this Netflix show, and he was, like...
He was the man.
He really was.
You know, Pigeon and Mike Tyson. You definitely have heard his voice.
Yeah. I know who this guy is. He's Canadian?
Yeah.
Super Canadian. Yeah, I know who this guy is.
He's Canadian.
He is super Canadian. I would describe him as super Canadian.
Yeah. Just totally broke down the barriers. Was an absolute, you know, comedic icon. He was a guy that I was so funny, too, because I was on the ride over here. I was listening to WGR, and even they brought it up. And he was a guy that made the entire, whether it was, you know, regular people or a room full of comedians, he was always the funniest in the room. Like, he was making the masters of comedy crack up, and that's just, that says a lot.
Yeah, it really does. He, it's hard to just, like, I can't really describe his style. It was just
dark,
it was
like, impression.
It was dark it was dry setup. Oh my god, the way that, oh my god,
can you give us an impression?
No, I can't.
Come on. That was not good.
That's not terrible.
I would have to, like, remember one of his jokes. Like, this lady, you know, and she told me, stop, she fucking bitch. Like, you just,
and then we left.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the norm. No, but he was fantastic. That was not doing Norm MacDonald. He was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of his, like, there's some Conan ones in particular that come to mind where he'd sit out there. And he'd start this, like, story for, like, 2.5 minutes, and the punchline, there's this one I'm thinking of where he told this long thing for, like I said, like, 2.5 minutes, and then the punchline was something about dolphins. It was like he was searching for his porpoise, and he just, and everybody obviously, like, groaned in the audience, and he just, like, it was awesome. Like, he just, the way he could kind of do that and captivate people, like, he forced all those people to sit and listen to him
for,
and
like,
he knew what he, and
yeah,
he knew
he
what he had.
He's in
he
on
knew
it.
What he was so good. Incredible. And also quite possibly the best Weekend Update anchor of all time. It's hard on how you measure that, but
I'd put him number one. He has the, and one of my favorite things, and he was doing this so late in his career too, where he would, like, take on, like, his YouTube account, I'm Not Norm, or his YouTube channel, whatever, hilarious, he would take, like, mashups of the, like, the Weekend Update. My favorite one was the Norm, it literally, he would title it Norm MacDonald shitting on OJ for, like, 15 minutes on Weekend Update. Hilarious. Just as he was just hilarious, unbelievable, incredible.
Yeah, those OJ jokes were,
I've been hearing a lot about OJ lately, that his son is the one, it was his son that committed the murders. That's what I heard, a rumor.
I heard that too.
Yeah,
you know, after watching that documentary, they definitely made it look like that. That I don't know if you guys saw the Netflix documentary.
I did.
Is that recent?
I did. No. It was like a few parts. It was like seven episodes, kind
of. Wasn't that
it had a crazy cast?
That's different from that ESPN thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had, like, this was like Travolta, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, the show.
Yeah,
it was only one season, though.
Was it on FX maybe first, or was it strictly
It was an FX show.
Yeah, I think, okay.
That sounds right.
Because they're doing, because that's the one, it's like,
So that's like the trials or whatever.
It's called, like, American Crime Story. It's like a series that they did. So they started with OJ, and it was supposed to be just that, and then, obviously, that was huge. So then I think they did the Versace murders, I guess.
Nice. That's on Netflix, though, right? That's a Netflix one?
No, they're all FX.
Oh,
they
really?
Might be
on Netflix
now.
Too,
but
I've
they're doing the Bill Clinton Monica Lewinsky one.
I saw that.
Out,
I'm,
like,
excited for that one
soon.
That should be electric.
I think that's gonna
be hilarious.
It's that Beanie Feldstein is gonna be Monica Lewinsky. It looks like I didn't watch the OJ one or any of them, but this Clinton one looks like it looks weird. Like, it looks kind of caricature-ish. Like, she, like, in the clips they show of Beanie Feldstein being Monica Lewinsky, she looks kind of like, she's got, like, this crazy look in her eye. And then Clive Owen is playing Bill Clinton, and they got him in, like, a fake chin and stuff. Which, they dressed up Travolta real weird in that OJ one, right?
He wore a lot of eyeliner, I feel like, in that documentary.
Right.
A lot of eyeliner, a lot of old man strength.
Yeah.
And anger I was getting from Travolta in that one. Maybe that was, you know, a good representation of Shapiro at the time.
Because David Schwimmer was Rob Kardashian.
Yeah, that was wild.
Okay, yeah,
that was
hilarious.
I've I've never watched the Kardashians, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians before, but apparently this past season was their final season. The show's done and over with.
Rip.
And my girlfriend watches it. So I was like, I happened to be present while she was watching, not the last episode, but they did like a, I don't know what they call it, like a panel. You know, they had them all sit down and talked about like all
the last episode of The Office.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was that, like that kind of vibe. And they were asking some hysterical questions, and they did ask Khloe something, and like her paternity got brought up. They were like, "Do you feel, you know, like,
do you,
have
feel
you ever
like
felt
OJ's
excluded
daughter?
Because of the whole like controversy regarding your paternity?" And they were like, all of a sudden, all started saying some dumb shit. Like, oh, you know, people thought something because they did like Ancestry.com and she was like 11% more Armenian or something. And they were talking about it, but
that had to come up.
That's, yeah, so that's the
dude,
only.
She looks like the pictures of her as a kid, like she looks like OJ Simpson.
She is OJ. Yeah. I'm without a doubt convinced that,
that she is OJ.
Of OJ Simpson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He responded to that on Twitter. Did you hear OJ's response? He responded to that. He is, wow, the fact that he's still around.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's
like,
great.
He's
great
Twitter himself follower. Out there. Yeah. Yeah,
everyone's commenting things like "you did it," and he's like going along with it. He's like, "Yeah, I did." Like, what? Like, okay. Oh, what? That was okay. Yeah, yeah. He's something. Can't be stopped. No. Juice is loose. Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do now that the Broncos?
I was just about to say that now that you can buy a white Bronco, everything's right in America.
I don't know if they sell it in white. Actually,
I swear to God, I've seen them.
Do they?
I don't know.
I swear to God, I've seen the new ones in white.
They've got
it. Yeah. I don't really even like the new ones, but I have been kind of out of the loop on like TV shows, documentaries, which is something that I usually do a lot of. And the reason being is because, one, I've been watching the Harry Potter series again since on HBO Max, because you have to.
You have to. Classic.
And two, I've been watching NCIS still religiously. So there's 15 seasons on Netflix. I've officially started season 15.
Wow.
But the show is still on. I saw an ad during the football games on Sunday. The new season starts like next week. I'm like, this couldn't be more perfect timing.
Dude. All the stars are aligning
for
football season.
Mm-hmm. I just can't. Mark Harmon's got to have so much money. Like, that guy's just got to be rolling in it. And, like,
nobody knows who the fuck he is, though. I think he's taking hometown deals in his contracts just to keep making the show. I think he's like, yeah.
Well, that's a big cut. But he's, like, he's a producer now. Like, the guy's rolling in it.
Oh, he's definitely rich.
And if he walked into a Starbucks, nobody would give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's literally the perfect job.
I would care. I'd be
fine. Yeah, like, you and, like, everybody's grandma would know. Yes, dude. I've never seen our grandma move so fast than when she realized one time that she was missing NCIS. I was literally sitting in a chair talking, and then she goes, "Oh shit!" And well, she didn't say shit, but she was like, "Oh my god, NCIS is on!" And she was like 80 years old or something when that happened. Yeah, seriously, got to do it. Got to do it for Marky Mark, my Marky Mark. Hashtag the real Marky Mark, Mark Harmon.
Yeah, no, but yeah,
yeah. No.
So, let's get into football, because I have a lot of things that I think we got to break down. And just to go a little bit more, too, into what BuffMafia_716, the Instagram page is, the one that you run. It's all Bills, all the time. You're breaking everything down. You're letting the people see what they need to see. So that's what we're here to talk about today is football. So we're coming up on week two. Week one was a disappointment in a lot of ways.
It's an understatement.
So I have I feel a lot of different ways about this. And I've also listened to a lot of, you know, WGR, stuff like that, of people having mixed opinions. But I kind of want to hear your take on it first.
Just week one or like?
Yeah, you can break it down into, week one, but, you know, talk about what you want. You can offense,
going
defense,
forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, week one, and that's another time where I found myself at a football game very glad I was seeing it in person, because I think the Tyrod years were very much those that very much showed that you don't really get the full picture of a game unless you're either there or you've watched it like multiple times.
Yeah,
is what I really think. And I did both. I was there, and then when I got home, I'm like, what happened? What did I miss? My dad was telling me Josh missed way more passes than I thought. My assessment of week one, I don't like to always just go to up front and blame it on the line, but it really is where football starts and ends, you know. And I think offensively, that was really the offensive line for the Bills. which is a little concerning because you've got a whole unit basically returning. You've extended multiple guys. That was really where the Bills fell apart on Sunday, I think. And that's, again, credit to the Steelers. They didn't even need to blitz. They were rushing 3 and 4 and generating pressure on a consistent basis on the Bills offense. And they did not have – Dable did not have an answer. So whether you want to blame it on coaching, whether you want to blame it on the offensive line itself, you know, it's really – you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, the game's over. I've really tried to adopt this mentality. I think the Bills fans need to do this too because we've been so accustomed to winning the last year. Trying to get that, you know, next game, put it behind us. But we were 13-3 last season. We were 15-4 if you count, you know, the playoffs. Bills are a winning team now. And I think people, like you just said, disappointment. It's an understatement for week one. I think looking ahead to the Dolphins, there needs to be some changes made from an offensive coaching perspective. I'm still very confused about the lack of use of Reggie Gilliam, a guy that got tons of looks in the preseason. You know, we saw a couple short yardage situations, Moss inactive. I think a lot of people anticipated that might be the guy in some of those short yardage situations and blocking, because I do think Moss is our best pass protecting running back. And when you take into account that the Steelers' pressure was such an issue on Sunday, looking forward to the Dolphins, you got a defensive minded head coach, a solid defense. I'm not anticipating there to be that consistent pressure every play with 3 and 4 guys, but I do worry about that secondary. And they've got some players in that secondary in Miami where if you're a Bills team coming off a loss like you did this week one, you've got a game plan for that. And that's going to come down to Dable a little bit. You know, I don't want to get into the Josh thing. I still love Josh. I still think he had a solid game personally. I think he missed some reads, but you know, being there in person, I could see dudes were not open and there was pressure there consistently. That's kind of what I'm thinking. That's kind of my reaction to week one in a nutshell. Really focusing on the offensive side. I liked what our defense gave us, personally.
Yeah, I agree with that take. I think our defense, you know, did their job. Offensively, we didn't put up points. And, you know, a couple missed throws. Two deep balls in specific that I Sanders. Think come to mind. Yeah. And he had digs on one, too, I believe. I think it was 1-1.
The Sanders one went viral. Everyone was freaking out about that because he was streaking open.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, and who knows, though, because that ball is barely overthrown and you have Sanders looking back over his shoulder, angling to the middle and the ball kind of floating to the outside. So that can always that can almost be a you know, miscommunication before the snap even. You know what I mean? So there's, you know, I have a side story. This guy, I was in my car the other day driving and this guy calls WGR and he's losing his mind saying that somebody's got to sit down and have a talk with Allen, and if he doesn't perform in the first half of the Dolphins game, Trubisky's got to go in. Like, going crazy. And they're sitting there listening to him. I don't remember what time it was. I don't remember what show it was, but they're like, this is the most ridiculous take we've heard all day. Like, you have a quarterback who was averaging, you know, running an offense that averaged over 30 points a game last year, and a fantastic 13-3 regular season.
Yep.
Like, just got paid close to $300 million. And he has one bad week against a very, very good Pittsburgh Steelers team that started the season 11-0 last year. And you're ready to just throw it all away. Like, it, yeah. But
that's pretty, that's a wild take. That's one of the more wild ones. Yeah. Right? Especially with the contract extension. I think that's where disappointment and frustration comes into for the Bills fans is coming off that contract extension.
So, well, I have two other questions, too. So, you talked, you know, a little bit about the running back situation. I didn't think Singletary played that bad of a game.
No, I didn't think he did.
I thought he had some good rushes, too.
I agree.
The Zach Moss inactive thing, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
They talked about it a little bit in the pregame that maybe he just wasn't performing, like, at practice. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't watch it, so it's hard to say. And then looking forward at the Dolphins. So, you were at the game. Driving home during the 4 o'clock slate, I sat down and got to watch the Dolphins Patriots game. So this is going to be half about the Dolphins, half about the Patriots. The Dolphins offense, you know what you're going to get from Tua at this point, at least at this point in his career. I'm not saying that maybe one day he won't improve, but as of right now, he's to me not a great quarterback in the NFL. He didn't really look good this past week. They barely snuck it out. He threw a bad interception and got lucky on a fumble from a New England running back to save them the game, right? New England was driving to win the game. They were down 1 point. Mac Jones I thought looked really good. I was surprised. I had told you beforehand that one of my mortal locks of the week was Miami moneyline. Miami was coming into this game as underdogs playing against a rookie quarterback, a guy who's never played a snap in the NFL, and with one of the best secondaries in the league, a secondary that led the NFL in interceptions last year with 18. So how can you look at a rookie quarterback and say, like, he's going to go in and beat this defense? And I thought he did a great job. He managed the game well. You know, I mean, he made some rookie mistakes, but for the most part, it was almost a little nerve-wracking as a Bills fan watching him play, because it's like, you know, that was his first game against a fairly good defense. He didn't play outstanding, but he played better than I wanted him to play. I wanted him to go in there and play like, you know, a rookie quarterback playing against the best secondary in the league. I started the Miami defense in fantasy. I'm like, he's going to go in there and throw four picks, and he did not do that. So I think that when you talk about Bills versus Dolphins, the Steelers came at the Bills with a different look this season, right? They played some close games last year, or they played close last year. You know, Josh Allen was able to play fantastic in those situations. I think they threw some new looks at him, the way they bring pressure. When it comes to the Dolphins, do you agree or disagree that unless something drastic has changed that I don't know about, he should know the majority of looks they're going to give him? And I don't think they're going to pressure him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, since he came into the league, and this is something it's so funny because we used to call Tyrod this, he is a Dolphin killer. Josh Allen against the Dolphins is fantastic. You know, whether it was the running the guy over last year and then just picking up 10 more yards, whether it was burning the very solid corners with, like, John Brown. It wasn't even really Diggs. I remember I think it was week two last year they played the Dolphins. It was early.
Yeah, it was week two.
Week two. So, you know, you think about that, he should know what he's getting. But I don't underestimate – I do think Brian Flores is a really solid head coach. You know, the Belichick coaching tree. Special teams defense. The offense, like you said, though, that is just 0% concerning to me. I don't think Tua is a threat. I think Mac Jones is going to be way better than Tua. If you're a Bills fan, it's early, like you said. It's 1 week. Mac Jones, we don't know what's going to happen. But I am much more worried about Mac Jones long term than I am Tua, partly because he's paired up with Belichick in New England. I think Tua sucks.
Yeah,
I think
me Tua's too.
Trash.
I was hesitant to say, well, and again, it's only one game, but you know, you look at last year, no preseason. He's coming in off of that hip surgery. Yep. You don't know what you're going to get. As of right now, he showed me nothing in that game.
He doesn't scare
Honestly,
me.
You want to know who he looked like was. He was very Tyrod Taylor-esque, in my opinion.
Check down
He was
king.
Getting out of the pocket too early. Check down king. Yeah, all the above. So I had another point to bring up about this Dolphins game, and it slipped my mind.
I mean, I'll piggyback off of really quick Tua, because I would love to crap on Tua as much as I can
right.
in the allotted time that I have. Because, you know, the Alabama quarterbacks, too, we're looking. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be way better than Tua.
Jalen Hurts looked very good in week one.
He looked fantastic in week one. I don't even know if – I think Mac's going to be the best of the three. But not that any of them are really going to be, like, game-changing quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't really see any of those three being that kind of guy. But,
yeah,
Tua, I'm not afraid of Tua.
No, not at all. And so then it – you know, so the last thing I was going to bring up was special teams. Obviously, the punt block, that was the killer in the game.
Yeah.
Shit like that just can't happen. Same thing happened kind of in the Cleveland game, right? They're up on – the Chiefs, and they're looking good, and their punter fumbles a snap and falls on the ball, gives the Chiefs short yardage, back of the end zone in 30 seconds, right?
You're talking Browns Chiefs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah. That was tough to watch. That was one game I did get to see right when I got home.
And so my point with that being is when I was watching the Bills game on Sunday, four out of the five experts had the Bills playing in the Super Bowl this year. Only one of them had the Chiefs. Yeah. Which is rare to see as a Buffalo fan. So if you want to be able to compete with teams like the Chiefs, you can't make those mistakes. And lastly, on that note, Isaiah McKenzie, you know, I know he did something with his shoulder, but I mean, right from the start, he runs that football back, gives us great field position, electric. I was nervous. I loved who is it? Andre Roberts. Right? Is that who?
Yeah, Andre Roberts. Yeah.
He was an ace as far as returns go. He was averaging like 20 yards a return. Blah blah.
Put us in great positions.
But I wanted to re-sign him. A lot of people said no. Like McKenzie's has, you know, he has that breakaway ability. And I'm like, well, you know, would you rather have good field position or a touchdown every couple games, right? And
yep.
But he looked great.
Well, he's a guy that contributes on offense, too. Yes. Like, Andre Roberts doesn't run the routes. And I tell you what, Broncos fans were pissed right when McKenzie, when they lost him.
Yeah.
Because he was with the Broncos.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have such a talented wide receiver group. He doesn't necessarily get a lot of throws, but he's got the speed. He works when we run that jet sweep. He kind of, I feel like, is going to fill a John Brown role when it comes to that stuff. Maybe not catch the footballs. I'd say Sanders is probably there for that. And then the last thing is Gabe Davis didn't practice today. So out with an ankle injury. So how do you think that affects our offense?
Yeah, I saw that. I think that it was a new addition. It doesn't sound super serious, but let's just say hypothetically, because this could happen at any point this season, let's say Gabe Davis isn't out there. I think not having Gabe Davis is a way bigger loss than not having Emmanuel Sanders.
Me too.
I'll just say that. And that's not a knock to on Emmanuel Sanders. I think Gabe Davis is extremely underrated. That whole receiver class was loaded.
And I think he only continues to learn from a guy like Stephon Diggs. Yeah. I think they have very similar like playing styles. I think he's going to be kind of the Bills' secret weapon going forward this year when it comes to, you know, our high-flying passing offense, because the NFL knows who Stephon Diggs is now, right, if they didn't already before. And you know, he's still going to be able to create space. That's what he does. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL. But there is going to be times where he's going to be covered, and I think Gabe Davis is going to make a difference in those instances.
Gabe Davis, and you got to hope Beasley too can build off of what he did the last really several seasons with Josh. I think they've developed a really nice rapport. He's one of the slipperiest, like wiggliest receivers in the league.
And Cole Beasley. You know, I think he's like, when I picture a slot receiver, picture Cole Beasley.
Yep. Beasley plus a few pounds and inches. But but he's able to do it at this tiny size. It's really cool. So
yeah, and he didn't play bad. I can think of one drop in particular that I would have liked him to caught. One, Josh put at his feet. You can't blame him there. Yeah.
That was the short one. Screen or something.
So I think, I mean, when you look at the offense as a whole, the play calling wasn't necessarily great. It's week one. I was curious. I kind of had a weird feeling going into this game because you've seen the Bills offense, specifically last season, you know, when they needed it, or not necessarily when they needed it, but when it was time to put teams away, they would pull out, you know, all the stops kind of.
They throw like a 40-yard bomb. It was so unique the way they were doing it. Like, they weren't running the ball. They would literally just stab the defense in the heart one at a time. Like,
and so I think almost the way that the game got called to me looked like they didn't want to let on too much. They didn't want to pull out all the stops early. I mean, they did try some weird shit. That one, I don't know, fourth and one. That was one of the craziest play calls I've ever seen.
Yeah, but you know what? That's another one where if it works, you're a genius.
If it works, you're like, what a play call. Josh Allen just turned around and threw
never
a dart.
Never would have seen that. Yeah. That was fucking stupid.
I think we talked about this. I know I keep saying it's the last thing, but then they keep popping into my head. I think we talked about this last time you were on, but the only other thing that I didn't really like from that game was a lot of the designed QB like runs, like the draws where he drops back. It's a delayed run. I feel like they do that because in their mind, when Allen's not going necessarily right, they use it to like get him in the game, right? They use him to get involved, then he starts making those throws. But I think that every time I've seen that happen, because that's every game that those plays start to come out are games where it seems like Josh Allen's maybe not hitting the throws that he's capable of hitting. And I really feel like they use that as something like, okay, Josh, like get in the game, you know what I mean, like have a good run. And then you'll be here mentally and ready to go. And I just,
another way to look at that, I think you let's use the Titans for example. That could just be the lack of an actual running game, because a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of offenses have a running game to, like the Chiefs, perfect example. Yeah. They have Edwards-Helaire. They can run the ball. We don't. I mean, and to your point, I do think Singletary had a good day. For whatever reason, they don't feel like they can have a running game they can rely on. That might be part of it. But I do agree. It seems like whenever that's the case, he's having an off day throwing the ball. But again, that could just be you literally are the most one-dimensional you can be when you're in five wide lining up in shotgun. Maybe he runs, like maybe the quarterback runs. That's not enough to keep a defense honest, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to Sunday. The game is in Miami.
In Miami. Bills backers, Miami, very pumped for that one. They're definitely fired up. It's going to be a fun one. I think it's going to be a great game. Yeah, I would love to look forward. That Steelers game, we gotta put that on the back burner because that is just – it was just brutal. Miami, that's going to be fun. That's going to be electric. I think that, you know, we're wearing blue jerseys, white pants, the classic Buffalo Bills look. You know, Josh is going to be cooking. Josh is going to be serving up some Mai Mai. It's going to be electric.
I needed somebody to say it. Once I hear it in my ears, I'm
as
like,
as soon
yeah.
as Matthew hears Mai Mai, he's yeah. ready to
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, get Jim Kelly that the blue crab. They have. Did you guys know about that? The him and Marino, Jim Kelly and Marino. If the Bills, whenever the Bills sweep the Dolphins, Marino, I think, treats him to like some crazy nice like blue crab dinner, some crazy seafood thing. And then when whenever the Bills sweep the Dolphins, so last year must have happened, Jim Kelly, or no, vice versa. When the Dolphins did not happen last year, duh. When the Dolphins sweep the Bills, whenever that happens, which is very rare, Kelly prepares these like two huge steaks or whatever for him and Marino. I just think it's hilarious. That's such a
as
weird.
Like a sorry.
No,
it's
no, like
it's
a,
like a for ongoing
it's a bet.
Bet.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like
so whenever yeah. whenever the yeah, so the Bills sweep the Dolphins. Marino has
right,
to make
Marino,
him crab.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's I might have fucked that up. But yeah, that's the idea.
Okay, they, got it.
They get they there's some fine dining gifts exchanged whenever there's a sweep, I guess, with the Bills and the Dolphins.
Wow.
Done.
So oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, nothing. That just says a lot about the way those teams went at each other back in the day. And like that's why we have that rivalry with yeah. Miami is because of those two guys. And for them to have that bet still going, that's
cool.
pretty crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So we talked a bunch of Bills football. Now I want to talk a little bit more about the account itself, BuffMafia_716. It's the you know the Bills backer account that you run. You post a lot of great content on there. You're doing you're going Instagram Live, doing breakdowns, all that stuff like that. Well, you know I read it like religiously as a Bills fan. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, here's information. I don't have to go look at what some blue check mark's saying.
Yeah.
I get to, you know, hear an actual person's opinion. So, you know, for the people who don't know the Instagram account, the people who might not have been listening to our show when you were on the first time, what are some kind of content things that you're trying to get out that come out consistently that people can, you know, look forward to as far as following the Bills this season?
Yeah. So what one thing I've kind of geared my attention towards a little bit more this season is just kind of like the game day posts. I think Instagram, I'm not a huge fan of the Instagram platform in general. I think there's better ones out there. It's kind of just the one I've like attached myself to for whatever reason. I like the format. I love all my followers. Like it's such a engaging page. Like, and that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that the game day posts, I just love how many comments I'm getting, like just comment people and go and not even just comments, like people commenting and then other people commenting to that comment. It's just, it's really cool to see people like talk about it and really hear what people think. Because like you said, I do get sick of listening to the check marks. That's kind of the whole idea behind this account is what do the actual fans think? What are the people that actually glue their eyeballs to the screen the most for this team? What are their actual takeaways? And yeah, that's I guess kind of what I'm more moving towards is like, I don't want to say like forum, but like a place for Bills right. fans to all kind of just like talk. Like whenever I do the live streams, I read almost every comment if I can. I try to go live with people. Connection sometimes sucks. I haven't figured that out yet, how to consistently go live with someone and not have it just completely fuck up the connection. But that's kind of what I'm moving towards more. I try to take it easy with video because I don't ever want to get copyrighted or something like that. I try to give as much credit as I can. Whenever I do post something that's not mine, I'll always say video via whatever, photo via the photographer or whoever's trying to, I try to give as much credit as I can. So I guess kind of moving away from highlights and stuff like that, moving more towards discussion posts and kind of what's going on current event wise for the Bills, staying in the here and now kind of,
which is why I like it. So, you know, I know we got a lot of Bills fans out there listening. Go check that out. Get involved in the conversation.
Yeah. It seems like you've been ramping up the lives.
I like the lives more.
Like watching those. Like
I appreciate
that. I mean, I tune into like everyone.
Well,
at
I think
when
you fucked shit up before, didn't you? Didn't you go
no
live?
Way.
What?
Oh, maybe I went live with you
yeah.
or something. Maybe. That's
yeah.
not your fault, though. That's
yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe.
Oh, I feel well, like I saw that.
We got to do it if that's –
yeah.
Not, yeah, let's do
that. But that's – it's cool to see that turn because with you ramping that up more because it's doing exactly what you want it to do. Like, I like that you're attaching yourself more to it now. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I am.
Yeah, you're...
It's become my account. It is exactly. My personal account. I don't have a personal account anymore. I am BuffMafia_716. Like, I follow... All my friends follow it. It's hilarious how many Jets fans I'm friends with from college that all grew up in the Long Island area that all follow this account. And it's really funny because they all comment. Like, what was the comment yesterday? My friend Jimmy, shout out Jimmy, Jets fan. He comments, he's like, do you think we're in for a Josh Allen regression year? Like after the week one, you know, just shit like that. It's just hilarious. And I know they don't actually think it. It's just kind of like trolling. I know there's Dolphins fans that I'm friends with that follow it. Yeah. And I do. I appreciate you noticing. I do like doing the live videos more. Not that I don't like writing some of those longer posts. I still do that. I did like last night, I did a Zach Moss discussion post. Just seeing what people think, like, what could that have made a difference in the game? Why was Reggie Gilliam not used more? But with the live streams, I've personally become more comfortable, I think, just putting, like, plopping myself down in front of a camera and just talking, like, and interacting with people, too, through the live feed. It's fun, you know? I think that's fun for Bills fans. Just talk it up. Just see what do people think. My favorite one, you guys, I'm sure you were on this one because this had usually average around 10 to 15 viewers at a time, and I'll end with about 100 total that have watched it over, like, a 20-minute period. The Bills Cardinals game last year, after the game, that was one of the funniest moments of my life. Going live, and I had like I think like 400 like people that didn't even follow the account just like saw that I was. It was unbelievable how many people at a time were all. It was the comments were hilarious. Just like what just happened? What did we just watch? Hail Mary. It's a fun time.
What happened in that live? Like what were you doing? In
I
that
was
live,
so
though,
what? Oh, so what I did? I got in my normal setup. Got behind my Flutie Flakes, got behind my TOs, my Josh's Jacks. I was pretty, I was really just shocked. Like, I think everyone was just, it was really just the comments were so funny. Just everyone's like laughing, crying emojis every 2 seconds. All my friends are on there. Just like, I'm getting calls like the whole time. I have to keep telling people like, I'm sorry. My phone's blowing up right now because we just lost on the Hail Mary. I was drinking. It was a Sunday night game. Right?
It was
a night game. Yeah. I remember it was the first game I watched like with my family that year. I'd been watching them all at college, and it was my first game I went home for. And I remember my mom just being like, "What do you mean we lost?" Like she didn't like didn't comprehend. My dad and I were just like silent. We're like, "What is going on? I'm gonna go do a live stream, guys." And they all tuned in. I've never seen so many people on one live stream. I understand it because it was so funny. Everyone wants to see a Bills fan's reaction. I was pissed. I try not to swear on the live streams. Mainly because I never know if my grandma's going to pop on.
But, your grandma's on Instagram?
She is now on Instagram. We literally got her in the last month to like, because she loves the Bills. And we always tell her about the account. And we're like, it's not that hard to just download the app and follow one. Because I'm pretty sure like one of the only accounts she follows. And I had a conversation with her about it the other day. I'm like, Grandma, you know, I hope you know. I censor what I say largely in part because I never know if you're going to like hear it. And she's like, I don't care.
You got to get your grandma to do a live with you.
Yeah, that would be electric.
If she's a big Bills fan, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's I got a lot of I don't want to call them bucket lists, but a lot of check marks to hit as far as the live stream experience. I got to do a little bit more. I don't usually have like the players come on, but I do have the players sometimes show up in my DM. My favorite is when I was DMing Richie Incognito, and this is like at the height of his. I think he had like just left the Bills, and I don't know how he was responding to me on the DMs. And this is back when I had like probably 7,000 or 8,000. I was like, why are you even talking to me? And then I realized it's Richie Incognito and the guy's batshit. So kind of he's just doing that with his free time. He's just DMing accounts. So it's fun. I love the account. I appreciate you guys are freaking fantastic supporters. I love your guys. I watch all your guys' videos too. Two in the Cooler, the Instagram, the YouTube's great. Spotify. Yeah. I wish I was dipping my toes in more platforms, but Instagram's kind of just where I found my home. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really good for those discussion things that you're doing. Yeah. And I mean, I said it already, but I really like that you're doing the live stuff because I feel like that helps with what you're trying to do. Like putting a face to the account, right? Like I bet you a lot of people are commenting because they know you and they're like, oh, Bernie's gonna see this. Like even people that aren't your pals.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no, I wouldn't really call them friends, but like I've made a lot of relationships, I guess, through this account. Like people I wouldn't be the same, I guess, with some of these guys that always comment. I got this one guy, he will DM me, I think, like 7 times a game. And I think Raymond, if you're watching this, Ray Money, I think you've changed your account name too. He will just bitch about Tyler Bass. The entire, like, before the game has even started, like, I hope we don't let fucking Bass get out there. Like better keep him on the side. Like, what is going on? I think it's kind of a joke at this point, but he, like, it's just stuff like that. Like, it's just, I would, you know,
I was going to say, I mean, with the exception of, like, the first, like, week maybe last year, yeah. What is his vendetta against?
I don't know. I think he just never, like, let it go. Yeah, he never let it go. The fair. The one eye black, I guess, pisses him off. Yeah. I don't know. I love Tyler Bass. Yeah. The fish with a leg. Yeah, it's just hilarious. It's a good time. It's fun. And I live for those moments, like, even in a loss, like the Cardinals game, that was one of my favorite memories as a Bills fan. Like,
yeah,
everyone
to be able to get on there.
Getting on. And it was just, we all just kind of came together. We're just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, right. That is, I'll never forget that. It was fun. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Either.
That's fun. I mean, you bond with people more over that than I think you do. Like, I went live after the Colts win, the Ravens win. I had a ton of people on there too, but it wasn't the same, like, level of like, oh, we are all in this together. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
this,
that's
I wonder what,
it, yeah, that's,
you know, if that makes sense.
I wish I could remember what week that was, because for whatever reason, I think I was also watching it at our parents' house.
I think it was week eight, nine.
I remember I was at work, but I think I
it had to have been like around Christmas time, maybe.
It was mid to late season.
It was pretty close to Christmas.
Because I was definitely watching it at home.
It might have been.
I was at home too for some reason. I don't really know why.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, Thanksgiving, maybe.
I think everyone just tried to forget that game as fast as they could.
Well, it was such a
crazy game.
Swing, like the end of it. Yeah, the unforgettable touchdown throw to Diggs, followed by just – and. In Kyler Murray's defense, he looked great week one, too. He was slinging the ball. I think he was the highest-rated fantasy quarterback this weekend.
Fantasy-wise. Yeah, because he had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Total touchdowns.
Well, Jameis Winston also had 5 touchdowns.
But the rushing touchdowns for Kyler, I think.
Jameis Winston had 5 touchdowns and, like, 150 yards.
Jameis
is
back. Big Jameis Winston revenge for the season, I think.
I am a huge Jameis Winston supporter, and for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why. And it's 100% at the fault of the part of my take, guys.
Oh, yeah. 100%. They're hilarious.
And I finally finally dawned on me the other day. I was like, because I literally made my roommate draft him, like, with a late fantasy pick. I'm like, Jameis Winston. And the best part was his other quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, you should have fucking started Jameis, dude. Aaron Rodgers throws up 1.3 points.
I'm in the exact – I have Aaron Rodgers and Jameis on my fantasy team. It was, tough.
And
Davante Adams.
My opinion to people out there that have Aaron Rodgers on their fantasy team – You can't be the guy who benches Aaron Rodgers after 1 week and then he goes off next week. Yeah. If he plays like dog shit this coming Sunday, then it's up for discussion.
then
because
you turn
at that
to
point he might actually have checked out of football and went back to Green Bay just to spite them and play shitty.
He has the Jeopardy gig lined right the fuck up. He's ready to go at a moment's notice. That's Aaron Rodgers. He'll bounce back. I've got him in fantasy. I'm feeling confident. I traded away Tanyan. Got Devontae. No one cares about the fantasy team. Anyway, I hate when people talk about their fantasy teams. I'm literally doing it. I'm doing the pet peeve of myself.
I love talking about fantasy football.
I like talking about fantasy. Fantasy's fun.
So, to kind of, I guess, for now, end our football conversation, this is a tough question. I'm just going to put you on the spot, but predictions for week 2.
Okay, yeah.
Score if you want to, but who's going off? Who's doing what? What's going on?
I think the offense is going to go off, and I have fallen into the trap of always saying that, following a poor performance of the Bills, but I don't give a shit. So I think that the Bills' offense is going to come back. I think we can expect – I think we're going to – like, I don't want to say a high-scoring affair because I really liked what our defense showed us week one. But I will say I think the defense was making up for the offense's shortcomings week one. I don't think we're going to have that dominant of a defensive performance every week. Now, keep in mind, Steelers don't have a very dominant offense. They got playmakers, but so do the Dolphins. You know, Will Fuller, they got what's-his-face Waddle they just drafted. Gesicki, I think, is an extremely underrated tight end. So I'm expecting a somewhat – I would bet the over on – like, I would bet the over on this if, you know – I don't know what the number
over's
is.
Over's
48
right now. Yeah, on the button.
I'm 100% betting the over. I'm going to definitely take the over on that. In Miami, I think that Dolphins offense will be able to do more than if they were in Buffalo, you know, as far as, like, putting up points. I don't think Tua's great, but I just – they do have players around them. He doesn't need to throw the ball really more than 5-10 yards downfield to get some points. I'm anticipating Bills are going to win 35-25. I think Josh Allen's going to have 2 touchdown passes. He's going to have 1 pick with the 2 touchdown passes, and that's what's going to have fans and the media. Oh, no, is this because his pass rating's not going to be as high?
300 yards, you think, for Josh?
I think 300 yards for Josh. I think he's going to add some rushing yards. And I think that we need to get back to understanding Josh Allen's identity and that he put up a statistically ridiculous season last year. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to have those stats for the Bills to win a Super Bowl. That's the Brett Favre kind of, you know, mentality. Make plays. It's so funny because his backup in Chicago, or his backup that was just in Chicago, Mitch, that was the big thing, is the guy could win games, but he didn't really put up numbers. Point of the game is to win the game. I don't really care if Josh goes out there on Sunday and throws four picks and we win. If he's a winner and he's even looking somewhat competent dropping back there, passing the football, I'm all in. You know, I don't need him to have that unbelievable season he had last year for me to feel content as a Bills fan about where we're going.
Yeah.
Necessarily. See, yeah.
It's, you know, I think so. The Bills are favorites on the road at 3.5. I think that's a no-brainer.
That's no point. Maybe because they're home.
Yeah, that's definitely why.
3 points,
but,
I don't know.
They're pretty much saying it's a pick 'em game, which, or not. But I almost think that's a little disrespectful. I think at home the Bills are probably 7-point favorites. I think 3.5 is still disrespectful because there's going to be a lot of Buffalo fans in that stadium in Miami this weekend.
That was another thing. I got to bring this up. I don't know what the hell was going on with the Pittsburgh fans. There, it was like a quarter of the crowd on Sunday. I don't want to bring up the Steelers game again. I've never seen so many away fans in a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's not usually something that happens there.
It was unbelievable. The amount of terrible towels.
I feel like there is a large, because of the proximity, stuff like that. I feel like
that makes
every time the Bills play at home versus the Steelers,
the fans show
The Steelers have a show.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Bills fans, too. There's a lot of, like, I'm another one. Like, one of my best friend is a Steelers fan. A lot of Bills. That's two fan bases that they commingle.
Yeah, they clash.
Blue collar.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. Play each other a lot. I don't know.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to go back to the Steelers.
I had to say that because I couldn't believe it.
I think that, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think that we're going to see, you know, a Josh Allen week. I saw some people, you know, giving the take that, oh, like this was, you know, a wake up call that the Bills needed, like coming off last season. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that they lose this game, and the reason that I say that is because we know Josh Allen, we know his personality as a football player, right? He's never been given anything, nor does he want to ever be given anything. But what we do know about him is when he doesn't do as well as he thinks he should do, he's gonna do better.
Yeah.
That's just in his blood. I think that he comes out this week. I think he goes 3 in the air, 1 on the ground. He has 1 on the ground, and I think it's one of those. I think it's, you know, one of those. He rolls out to the right. He's kind of waiting. They're just outside the red zone, and it ends up being like a 25-yard rush because he finds a lane up the middle, and he just takes to the house untouched.
Yeah, I didn't mention this. I think he's going to have 2 on the ground, actually.
Okay.
Because I was going to say 35 points. I think he's going to have 2 passing touchdowns. He might have a fumble in there, too. I don't think you're ever going to fully get those turnovers out of his game, unfortunate as that is. Whether it's a fun, because the guy is, he's just a freaking playmaker. I mean, he does crazy shit that us fans were obsessed with.
Yeah. When a quarterback fumbles the football in the way that Josh Allen does, it doesn't, you know,
doesn't scare me. It doesn't fire me up as it does
when like a running back. No, I'm just saying in general because. You know, they're trying to make plays a lot of times, too. It's right around the line of scrimmage where they have to make that quick decision. Am I going to, like, when they're rolling out, am I going to throw this ball?
I don't see a guy coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he has gotten better at it already, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's
gotten better.
He didn't throw a pick in the Pittsburgh.
He didn't throw a pick, but he did have a fumble. But you didn't see the guy coming. Yeah. So that's where I think, you know. I think picks get a lot more shit than they should. I think that was, especially with Tyrod, everyone's like, he doesn't throw picks. The punts are basically like, it's just a long pick every time. Like Josh Allen, I mean, the Bills offense, I think it's part of the reason they haven't been able to find out the punter situation because we don't really ever get a full good look at the guy. Like Corey, I thought Corey Bork was at a pretty solid season.
Bojangles. Yeah. I mean, he didn't punt a lot, but he would come in and he would
bomb it.
I mean, it was a 50-yard punt guaranteed. He never, you know, you see NFL kickers that punt a lot. Still, they'll throw like a 30-yard dud at the worst time, and it sucks.
Yep.
He was, you know, when our offense wasn't doing what they needed to do, he was a huge help in our ability to play field position
because
he would pin teams deep.
And I'm not blaming – I don't want to make this seem like a shot on Hack at all as far as that block punt. because I don't think that was his fault. I think some of the coaching decisions, I don't know. We watched as fans.
The Steelers were in the backfield before the ball was even. Yeah, yeah
that wasn't hacked. Yeah. I mean, but again, you got a wide receiver blocking. Kumerow is there in the inside of the blocking. I'm like, what are they? I know he's a big dude, but just weird. I don't know. I'm trying to move on from the Steelers.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We're going forward.
We are.
What do you say we do a little Who Would Win the Week?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Love it.
Who Would Win the Week this week is a weird one, I guess. But it's Gronk, Rob Gronkowski versus Will Ferrell. It would have been interesting to do Ron Burgundy, too. We've done Ron before in our three-way Ron battle.
This is Will Ferrell.
This is Will Ferrell, the actor. The
man himself.
So who is a big he's a big
he's
guy.
He's a very big guy.
Yeah.
Big dude.
So this is what I'll say. I'm going to call Andrew out to start here. Your premise behind this fight working was that you think that because, in your mind, Rob Gronkowski is so dumb that anybody with any amount of intelligence would be able to beat him in a fight.
That's your premise? I just want to
That's Andrew's idea going.
That is what you know. That is what I said.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Almost word for word.
Yeah, I think basically word for word. What I said was that you could probably defeat Rob Gronkowski the same way that they took down the camel walkers in Star Wars. Yeah. Is you just you could just wrap a jump rope around his legs and he might be like, whoa. Like I feel like you could pull one over on him pretty easily.
So, I don't know if Will Ferrell's the guy to do that, though.
I don't even know what I honestly am having trouble thinking of what Will Ferrell's tactic would be
kicking
going
and screaming
in.
Style,
yeah,
I think.
So this is my initial take is that only way Will Ferrell would be able to win this fight, and now I am about to take a slight shot at Rob Gronkowski's intelligence, but not to the place where you took it.
Slight shot.
Will Ferrell is a funny bastard, and I feel like that is Gronk's type of humor. Like
that's his weakness.
Yeah. I feel like Gronk is probably a huge Will Ferrell fan. With that being said, if Will can come out and kind of, you know, lay down some groundwork and maybe take Gronk's head out of the game a little bit.
Yeah.
He has a little bit of a chance in this fight.
Right. He'd be able to distract him.
Yeah, I mean, if Will is capable of doing anything that he did in the movie Kicking and Screaming, I might even just take him out.
And in that movie, he learned from the best. Like, I bet you Mike Ditka would Gronk a hell of a fight.
Absolutely.
Even at his current age. Is he still alive? I think
he's still alive. Yeah, he's still kicking. it's a good matchup. Gronk, I mean, we saw his four brothers, who I think people all consensually agree that that Gronk's a little bit better than the four brothers, but we watched his four brothers get whooped by Jake Paul in under 20 seconds each. I might even take Will Ferrell over Jake Paul. That's probably a little pushing.
No, I
didn't know
kicking
about
and screaming stuff because this isn't boxing. This is a fight to death, right?
No holds barred.
Yeah. So that's the Gronkowski's
most
recent fighting.
And that's the thing about Will Ferrell is I feel like he might not be winning in this fight, like when it's coming down to it, but he would do, you know,
whatever it took.
He's an eye gouger. Yeah. He's an eye gouger. He's a ball grabber.
He's a real loose cannon.
Yeah, he'll finger your ass if he has to.
Yeah, he'll do it
to kind of free up some space for himself to make a move. With that being said, Will Ferrell would have to really be on one to distract Gronk. And the reason that I say that is because, well, it depends on how the situation
starts. Gronk seems pretty easily distractible.
Yeah, especially by Will Ferrell.
In public, yes. But you have to remember, I'm talking about in your everyday setting, but you have to remember that he is one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. And you don't get to a position by that by being somebody who, in the moment, can easily be taken off their game. Right. So if he's in, if you give him the opportunity to get in, I don't want to call it war mode, but
Trey White, when he hit Trey White.
Yeah.
In the back of the neck.
When he's in the zone, when he's locked in as if he was playing in a football game, I don't think Will Ferrell stands a chance.
Yeah, Will Ferrell's definitely the underdog, but it's more like, do you think he can pull it out?
But you know what? It depends on the scenario. Though. If the scenario is, you know, they're at a bar and they start chatting, and randomly, Gronk pisses Will Ferrell off, and all of a sudden he's like, "It's on."
Uh-huh.
I think that Gronk is at a severe disadvantage because he wasn't prepared. Whereas, as goofy and maybe unintelligent as you might think he is, when you're as old as he is, you don't play as well as you do in the National Football League without the uncanny ability to prepare yourself. That, and he's obviously very close with Tom Brady, who is a guy that prepares like nobody ever.
That's a good point. I think about the Brady connection. He would get him coached up for Will. I don't know. It kind of comes back. I was listening to our Who Would Win of the Week last time. It was Mike Ditka and Belichick the last time I was on.
We did Ditka last time.
Yeah, we did. That's so funny. That's what I was like, what are the odds? And I remember I kind of went with Bill because I thought Bill would do anything to win as far as like Force Lightning, pull out a lightsaber.
Yeah, that's right.
Darth Sidious style. No, but like, yeah, and that's where kind of even though Gronk was a Patriot, I kind of think more Will would do whatever it took, you know? He'd make him laugh. He'd catch him off his game. It'd be a tough one. Will's a big dude, though. I think you can.
Right, Andy?
Yeah, are you all right?
I got something in my eye. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah, bad, Andrew's though. Crying.
It feels like I got sunscreen.
Tears have been
shed. It feels like I have sunscreen.
You've probably been touching
eye.
Like those peppers or some shit.
Oh, fuck. No, I definitely didn't.
What'd you do?
I don't know, but that's kind of what it feels like. Oh,
you
my God.
You're doing something stupid.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted from the
food. Do we need
a splash
of water in your eyes? We need to get one of those.
One of those, like,
things
safety.
From health class, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, flush the eyes out.
Water for your eyeball?
Oh, my God.
Let me put go the, get a nap.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bosch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'll solve it.
But we battle on. So.
Yeah.
I'll just hold it like an eye patch for the rest of the show.
I agree that Will Ferrell would do whatever it would take. Like, if he had to get, you know, if he had to get scrappy, he would get scrappy.
Yeah.
I just think that we're talking about an
I'm
athletic
sorry, it's so
specimen.
Distracting.
Yeah,
I know.
There's tears.
I'm looking like
everywhere.
Popeye over here.
This is. There's
he's imagining Will Ferrell just getting his absolute ass.
Yeah, he's
in.
All
right, I'll be back. Yeah. I'll try and sort this out.
Yeah. So what I was saying though, as Andrew goes, we're gonna get
to sort this out.
This is our first ever medical stoppage on the podcast or medical leave. We've never had somebody
brought to you
have
by
to do that.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly.
Highmark Stadium.
But. I just think that Gronk is such a physical specimen. Like, we're talking – I'm going to look up their schematics, like their height and weight.
I'm going to guess Rob, what is he, 6'5", 6'6"? He's probably 260. I'd say Will's probably 6'4", 240. Those are my guesses. Weight expert over here.
I mean, so Will Ferrell's 6'3", Gronk is 6'6". I didn't look up their weights. That's their own personal information. Yeah. I would never disclose that.
That's true. That's my point.
I know. This is getting interesting. But
no, it's awesome.
It goes back to like the preparation thing. When you have a guy like that who is obviously so dominant at something that's so difficult to be dominant at, it's just a testament to how good he is, like physically, like how well his body operates. And then, you know, when you have a guy like Will Ferrell who is big but he's goofy and he might be smarter, but he's definitely
he's
not
also
as
old
athletically
too, isn't he
inclined.
Like
probably
60 something, not that that's
he's probably
relevant.
Not young, but
I forgot about that. I
let's see
that could definitely like I would take prime Will Ferrell. I might
54.
Even take oh he's not that old.
No, not that old.
Wow,
he could still fight. I mean, Gronk's
only 54,
what 32
wow.
35.
His 30s. And his body's been through more than most people.
Yeah, I was during an NFL season.
But I don't know if you guys noticed. Andrew definitely didn't. But in the Bucks' first game of the season, for the first time that I can remember, Gronk was wearing no mechanical arm. He had nothing but like
not
a shooting sleeve
that.
On.
Really?
Yeah, he had no brace,
no
nothing.
Robot.
So he's
arm.
Only getting stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's concerning. I did not know that. I didn't
yeah,
notice
so,
that. Wow.
Take that into consideration.
I didn't notice that. I've always noticed that.
And that's what I mean.
Arm.
And that's why it stood out so much to me. I'm like, why does he? He had one little red shooting sleeve on his arm. That's it. No,
that's weird.
Yeah.
I was rooting so much for Antonio Brown that night. Maybe I wasn't even. I needed him to get five.
Yeah,
touches.
I had a great fantasy night that week. I had
that night was fun.
I had CeeDee Lamb playing, and I had Chris Godwin playing.
Okay, that's
so
Godwin did great.
I had. Some fun.
Goblet almost fucked that game for them. That was really close.
But he ended up having another touchdown after that,
he
didn't
did.
He? So
we did. He's good.
It all comes out in the wash.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I think I'm
a lot better.
I mean, my eyes are open right now.
Just a little splash of water, and just
like as soon as I walked out there, it started to feel better. And then
some of this room,
I went.
Bright light.
It might be that
needs
light.
Needs some eye black.
Yeah, Tyler Bass, just the one.
Just
eye.
One. Yeah, just one.
Shout out to Reggie. What was that guy? Roy.
Which one?
The guy you mentioned that
Raymond.
Oh. Yeah, shout out to Ray. Shout out to Ray.
Oh my gosh. I got to tell him. That's hilarious. Yeah.
As soon as I grabbed the tissue, I like did that. And then I have this like water bottle fresh out of the fridge that I just put on there.
Always good to slap.
Eye patch style.
Take the swelling down a little bit.
Fresh, I don't know what was it. It felt like some kind of chemical burning. Like,
so before we get too
happened.
Far away from it, let's lock in our picks on the Hooter of the Week.
Okay.
Then we'll discuss the eye.
Okay. I really think that will. It's weird. You know what? Okay, so you know what could happen, though, is yes, Will could distract Gronk, but Gronk might be enjoy it so much that he actually kills Will Ferrell, Lenny from Of Mice and Men. Like, that's what I think could potentially happen here. Gronk is like, yeah, this is great. I love this guy. And then he maybe, like, lovingly punches him on the shoulder and like his whole spine comes out, or maybe like puts him in a fun headlock and then his head snaps off.
Flip side of that, not to keep going with Mice and Men, maybe that's how
Will Ferrell
just walks him over to a lake.
Yeah, says, let's pet the rabbit.
Yeah, that's pet the rabbits, Rob, and then he just tees off on
that's what I was thinking.
Oh man. Which one of those is more likely? That's tough.
I think the latter. I got to be honest.
I was going to say, I've read the book, and that's what happened.
Yeah, that is
right.
But yeah, but that's after.
In Lenny versus George. George does win.
Yeah. So, is it Lenny versus George, or is that would basically be.
I mean, technically.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's but basically what you're looking at.
Lenny doesn't go at George, though, violently.
He doesn't need to.
Yeah, George sets it up so that. He doesn't have Lenny.
That's a good
that would be
Lenny
that would be
or
the
George.
Situation.
Yeah.
In a fair fight, finally. Finally,
Lenny.
Justice
to,
for
know,
hashtag
yeah.
justice for Lenny. Lenny.
Justice for Lenny. Lenny didn't do anything, dude. He
well
didn't he
well,
kill
he
I never
kill
read, I never
he killed
the
woman,
book.
Right?
Yeah, he killed,
okay,
he killed
yeah,
the woman.
Yeah.
When it's a
kind
human
of
by accident.
Well, I think isn't that the whole point that it is by accident?
Yeah.
I mean,
he just doesn't know his own.
We never know.
Yeah. We don't get to know that. That's up to interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
this really turned into just Lenny and George.
To break it down that way, though, then I reconvinced myself that it's Will, I guess.
Yeah, I've actually talked myself into the Will thing after that.
That's
like,
a hard thing to, yeah.
Because you could easily distract him enough and be like, and Gronk be like, yeah, see Gronk, don't you like the footballs? Look at the footballs. And then just boom.
Yeah.
And then he's done.
Yeah. Two great impressions from you today, Bernie.
That was,
Norm and a great Gronk.
Gronk's pretty easy. You just go, my name's Gronk. Catch ball.
Like, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
You just do Matt
Damon. I'm going to stick with Gronk here because I feel like you can't undersell his freakish athletic ability.
Yeah.
That's
fair. And that makes sense.
If Will Ferrell gets the better of him mentally, then good for Will Ferrell. But if that isn't the case, then Gronk, tees off on Will Ferrell to death. And
he might underestimate him too, because I feel like if you're Gronk, one of the things about Gronk, and obviously he like has so much fun, it's because he must feel like nothing can kill him.
He's
because so like nothing can. Yeah, a little bit in his ability.
Yeah, but I don't think he would ever underestimate. I don't think Gronk. That's Brady Belichick mindset 101. Yeah. You don't ever underestimate somebody.
Right.
So I don't think.
Although I don't think of Gronk as like a Belichick like kind of mind, you know, like he was never a fan.
No,
like.
But he was there for so long. Yeah. He in some way, shape,
some.
Form, he has to have adapted it.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
And that's again, fair. He's also played in the league for so long when a lot of people thought that he wasn't going to be able to sustain a career because of his injuries. So
yep. And then he comes out and scores the most touchdowns ever by a tight
end
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're 2-1.
I'm taking Will.
Yeah.
Two Will Ferrells, one
after
Gronk.
The Lenny thing.
There's a lot of different ways you can look at this fight, and I think that's where the discrepancy comes in. But vote on that on Friday on our Instagram story. Let us know what you think. It'll be posted by none other than yours truly, Andy. So go on there. Let us know what you think. Take a vote on that. Check out what other people think. And Yeah, I like that. Who were in the week?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah. It was more interesting than I thought. How tall is Gronk?
6'6". Well, we looked it up while you were
having an
really?
Eye
3 inches. Can't change your pick anymore. Sorry.
I'm good with that. He's younger than I thought. He's like 50-something, too.
He's 54.
Will, I would have said 70s. I did not know he was that young.
I don't know if I'd be able to guess Will Ferrell's age.
I've gotten to my head. It'd old.
Be tough.
Not
he
to
does
be dick,
look. Well,
like,
and
he
then sometimes
look.
He like, looks
if you
like,
see,
young.
If you
not
see him, if you see him, like, just in,
recently.
Like, a video or something, not, like, in a movie, like, you
he looks
could
even
tell
worse.
He looks old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, a nice guy, probably. Actually, I've heard that he isn't. I'm not
really?
I'm trying to. I've heard.
I feel like I've also heard that he's a bit of an asshole.
I've heard that, but also a lot of people don't like Will Ferrell movies. So
and
that could just,
also, right. He just. I feel like him being an asshole is like kind of his sense of humor off screen. Like I bet
that
you
was Norm's. A lot of people didn't like Norm Macdonald for the same reasons, and now we're all, honoring him as a comedic great because he really was. You know, but like that kind of humor sometimes.
Right, especially because I feel like those are two guys in particular that are really like. They're just funny all the time, you know what I mean? Like, they just
they
kind of
make,
exactly, they just kind of, that just becomes their personality.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think Will Ferrell, that's an interesting point. I think he definitely has rubbed people the wrong way just because he's like, this is funny, like, that's really what I care about is just being funny, so.
Yeah, it makes himself
me
laugh.
Too.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
He's probably like, I don't care about these people, yeah. I feel like that's what it is. And also, I'm a big believer in, like, there's a time and place to try to have a conversation with celebrities, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like every time you hear somebody like, oh, they didn't sign my autograph, it's like...
They're
they
the
were
pool
at,
with their kids.
They were at dinner. Yeah, they were at dinner with their wife or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, they... Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I heard... I actually heard a story about Will Ferrell, like, at... he was at dinner with some guys. This was, like, an Andy Richter story. And they were shooting a... the fucking basketball movie? What is it?
Semi-Pro?
Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
And, they all went to this dinner and like people just kind of started like creeping up and he had to like get up in the restaurant and be like, we're going to eat. And then afterwards we'll do it. So there's like four of them at this table and they eat. And as soon as they're done, the other three guys like couldn't even see Will Ferrell anymore. Cause he was just
really?
Mobbed by people.
That is
like,
a great movie. The Flint Tropics. What a story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Moon. What a legend. Anyway. Yeah. That's, what was I say? The, one of the toughest times of my life ever. One of the toughest moments I've ever had is I came in, I walked in, my roommates watching Land of the Lost, and the movie had just started. That's like one of my favorite movies ever. I don't know if you guys have ever seen
really?
Land of the
Lost.
I love it. I think it's hilarious. They hated it. They already had it on. And they were like, that was the unfunniest movie I've ever seen. And I never really recovered from that because I love Land of the Lost.
That
a lot
movie
of people
gets
have,
a lot of shit.
Yeah,
that
it gets
movie.
A lot of
Will
shit.
Will Ferrell himself is a polarizing figure. Like people
yeah,
either
true.
Think he's hysterical or they're like, this is the stupidest
he's
dude
a dick.
Ever.
Yeah.
I watched Get Hard again the other night because that's on HBO Max. And that movie makes me laugh too.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's good in that movie.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's a funny bastard.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart's hilarious.
Yeah.
I just remembered Love Me Sexy.
Yeah.
It was from that song?
It's called Love Me Sexy. I actually have it on my phone. I play it every once in a while.
You
yeah.
brought up Kicking and Screaming a lot today also, which is so funny because I actually wrote Kicking and Screaming down like related to something else on my note cards.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I don't actually get into what's on there, but that's just funny. That's an underrated movie, I think.
It's a great movie.
I had a Kicking and Screaming moment. Not too long ago, I was
the fact
moment.
That movie, like how that little kid is his brother.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's like
all
his
weird.
Kid's uncle. That's
yeah.
hilarious.
Holy
shit, that's so
yeah.
funny.
I never understood that growing up too. I'm like, wait, what is that? Like, how is that even possible? And then,
yeah.
Like,
well, that's
oh,
the
oh,
thing
oh,
is, it's kind of was like made as a kids movie, but
yeah.
it's
not
so much
movie.
Funnier to watch when you're like as an adult.
Yeah. Shout out to Beans from Even Stevens.
Yeah,
he gets a lot of play in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, what is the short little Asian kid's name? Like,
oh
my gosh.
Man.
Oh my gosh, it's going to kill me. What, and they're like, come on, you got it, honey. Like,
yeah.
The moms, the lesbian
because
moms.
My,
back
my,
when that was like a big joke.
Yeah. Like, oh,
yeah,
wow.
Lesbian,
this is going to be hilarious.
It's wild
that this is happening.
Two moms.
Take it easy on him. You take it easy on that corduroy jacket of yours. And she's like,
yeah. My, one of my old roommates, his name on NHL, like his player's name in the video game, was the name of that little Asian kid. And I wish I could think of it.
Oh, what is the name?
We're
going to
look
later.
It up.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell my Kicking and Screaming moment. We were old teammate of mine had asked me to sub in for like a hockey game that he was playing in. They had a playoff game and a bunch of their guys from their team couldn't make it and they were playing a pretty good team and they're like, we need to make sure we have guys. Will you come play? And I'm like, of course. So I go play and the team that we were playing was pretty good. They had two players in particular. What is it?
It's something Sun.
Byung-Sun.
Right? Byung-Sun. I said it, yeah. Byung-Sun.
I've already made the decision. Yeah. Right, what were you going to say?
So I'm playing in this hockey game, and the other team, they have two players, and specifically one of who I know that are very, very good hockey players. So, you know, we're going into the third period, and it's like a tight game, and we're like, oh, they really want to win because it's their team. It's the playoffs. And I'm like, I want to win for them, and I don't like to lose, but I'm just having fun. And they're all talking in between the period. I went over to the bench, and I said, guys, I said, it's just like kicking and screaming. I said, just don't let them pass the Italians, and there's no way we lose this game. And guess what? We went into overtime. The Italians were on the ice, and we lost the game.
Damn it.
Yeah, Italians. It was textbook kicking and screaming.
Oh, damn Italians. They,
yeah. They weren't, neither of them are Italian. What? I don't know, but.
That's hilarious.
Metaphor.
Man, I do love that movie. I was just checking out Elliot Cho, who Byung-Sun. Plays Byung-Sun.
And remember they like, put him on
I was
big,
checking out his
the big kid's shoulders.
Yeah. That's a classic stack. Mega Man. Yeah. You guys get some kind of Mega Man thing going. They're like, what? Like, yeah. Why would we even do that? It's
yeah. And it works.
Yeah.
That's I don't so think interesting. That's one of those things where like. You have to, when you're writing a movie like that, like a kid's sports movie, you have to think of, like, what's their Mighty Ducks V move going to be, that right? Like, what's their special me move? And it's just putting one kid on top of another kid.
And bringing in Mike Ditka.
Now, he was hilarious in that movie. That was he's yelling about everything.
No smoking in the house.
Yeah, no smoking in the house. And then just Will Ferrell firing him. He's like, I'm no juice box boy. Like, it's just like, oh,
yeah,
electric.
Will Ferrell takes on a persona. In that movie. The other guys also, because
that's like my favorite movie of all time.
That's one. Yeah. That might. Dude, that movie is so perfect. It's unbelievable. Also,
I was Will Ferrell.
Dirty Mike. Dirty Mike has an Academy Award. Dirty Mike has an Academy Award.
Really?
Yeah.
He's.
Like, actually? You're not like. You just
the guy. So, the guy who plays Dirty Mike is Adam McKay, who directed that movie, and he and Will Ferrell. He and Will Ferrell started Funny or Die and Gary Sanchez, the production company that does all Will Ferrell's movies. So he also wrote and directed The Big Short and Vice.
Wow.
And so he has...
He's Dirty Mike.
And he's Dirty Mike, dude. Dirty Mike has...
Turned his Prius into an F-Shack.
We will have sex in your car.
My roommate and I were... were Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg from the other guys for Halloween last year. And we did a pretty good job because he's like... short and like really like pretty jacked and I'm mean
somebody
and I,
the other
I can
day
play a good Will Ferrell I can be goofy
the other day somebody said to me Matt should dress up as Alan from the other guys
I
was like I'm pretty sure he did one year
we did me and
Alan that's the best character he is hilarious in that movie oh my goodness
Andy what else you got for us
you can't top. I mean, we could sit here and talk like just Will Ferrell, other guys for so much, but because they move, But just everybody go rewatch both those movies because Kicking and Screaming
watch
is not
all.
Good enough
watch,
play.
Yeah. We named. Yeah, that's a. It's on something, too.
It's probably. I feel like it's on HBO Max.
Land of the Lost. Great movie. If you don't like it, you're an asshole.
I mean, if we're talking about greatest movies of all time that people throw disrespect on, then The Love Guru is number one. But
have you seen that?
I've not seen The Love Guru.
Wait,
Love Guru. Who's in this?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers.
That's the
it's
one.
The hockey movie. I like Mike Myers. Sounds.
The
it
one
is
where
so
he
fucking
is like. No, it's really not.
It is,
it's really not that good.
There is so many lines
best,
in that movie that are
the
funnier than any other line in any other movie
I've
ever seen.
The funniest part of that movie is a joke they stole from the George Lopez show,
which was
where is when
show.
They
what about Stink
show what
Stink Mop.
Yeah, that's
funny.
Not on the list.
Or when he's
but it's when they show Mike Myers as a little kid, but he's still got Mike Myers like man head.
That's one of the best.
That's a George
Lopez.
That's classic George Lopez.
Classic Mike Myers.
When he's like, why do you want to become a guru? And he's like, because I want to pick up chicks. And he's like, why are you here? And he's like, my parents are dead.
Oh yeah.
And they're like,
that is.
And he's like, what did your parents do? And he was like, well. First, they were missionaries, and then they became dog stylists. And he's like, oh, so your parents were into missionary before the doggy style? And he laughs, and he goes, haha, yeah, make fun of my dead parents or something. Yeah, that's hysterical.
Make fun of my dead parents. Jeez. Yeah, I got to give that a watch. I have not seen that. But
yeah, check it out. Like, let us know.
I'll rate it. Buff Mafia underscore 716.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Branching out into movie reviews.
As we get out of here, thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been
We appreciate you driving here.
Of course.
You had a little bit of a drive to get here. It's awesome that you could come to the studio. Go Bills.
Go Bills. Long season ahead.
Check out Buff Mafia underscore 716 on Instagram. The content's going to be out there. You're going to want to be involved with what's going on with the Bills this season, because they're going 16-0 after the first game. We don't count that. So undefeated, and then they go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. So, yeah. It's technically, in my book, still first season with 17 games.
That was still preseason, technically.
First season with 17 games. If you go 16-1, the loss was the first game of the season, you still went undefeated.
We'll just call that the fourth preseason game because they're the extended 17-game season.
Wow. Yeah. That's an excellent point.
Yeah,
that like Rubik's Cube together in my head.
Yeah.
That makes
a
lot of sense.
Rubik's Cube the shit out of it.
I've already spin zoned this as well, that because there's more games, one loss is actually worth less. So it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It adds up.
Yeah.
Man. Bernie, thanks for being here, man.
You guys are
awesome. He said it already, but yeah, really glad we got to have you in the studio. I wanted you to check it out for a while.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's fantastic. You guys all can't see, but it's really beautiful.
Somebody told me the other day that it looks bigger on screen, which is
good.
Yeah,
we do that on purpose.
It does. But it's not small. I mean,
this room's like 40 by 40. Screen.
That's 45. I have a big issue with measurements of any kind.
That would probably be a lot bigger than this room is. This room's probably
40 by 40.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, that sounds kind of right. That's how
I have no idea. Feet? Like
40
no,
by
what?
40 would be a big room. 40 feet by 40 feet would be a big room
right.
as well.
That makes
that would be a lot.
This is not that big.
Like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Let's get the fuck out of here because I don't know. I'm kind of losing.
You guys rock. I appreciate it again.
Yeah.
This was
coming on.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Andy, I love you.
I love you too. Let's get out of here.